ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.
Hello, podcasters. Thank you for downloading. Did I talk about the toilet seat gross thing that happened at the start of the podcast the other day?
I don't think you did.
Can I bring that up?
Well, even sorry if you did, if it's gross enough to repeat.
Sorry if I have brought this up before at the start of the podcast, but it really did throw me.
Mm.
I usually go to the toilet, bit TMI here, by the way, but just go with me. I usually go to the toilet at home before work.
Which shocked me, by the way, because you've changed your routine.
Changed my routine.
You used to do it at work.
Don't know, it's coming on quicker these
days.
Used to
take the paper in with you.
Nah, yeah, I stopped doing that. Just do it on with the phone now. Who reads paper anymore? But I had to do it at work the other day, and the toilet, the preferred cubicle, the one that's, you know, in the corner.
Oh, there's always a preferred, yeah.
Yeah, it's the, I don't know, most least used one, I think, or I don't know, it's the most separated from other toilets or whatever. I go in to use it. And there's a black curly hair on the toilet seat.
It could have been from someone's head. We have people here that have black curly hair, don't we?
It's not where the mind goes, though.
I'm trying to make
what's
you feel
the, what's
better.
What's their head doing? I'm just going to wash my hair in the toilet before I start work for the day. Come on. We know what it was. We're at war.
The battle lines have been drawn.
Battle lines have been drawn, mate. Mm. Lines are in the sand.
Yep.
Wasn't us who started this war, but by God, we're going to finish it.
Yep.
Petty Origin. It's a race to 5,000 Instagram followers. So chuck us a follow. Represent your state.
Yes.
Do Queensland proud. Follow us. Cliffo and Gabby on Insta.
We are up against the New South Wales team.
Blandy
so
and Shaz.
It's Queensland versus New South Wales. You've got to get on board.
And we're expecting Blandy and Shaz to play
dirty.
I like how you've stopped correcting me.
No, it's fine because it's who they are. They're dirty.
And they launched it yesterday just after 8 o'clock. Mm. They're trying to buy Instagram followers by putting up some tickets to Game 3, which is in New South Wales, for someone who follows their Instagram page is going to win tickets to Game 3. Unfortunately, our next game, next Queensland game, game two, is completely sold out. So we have been informed that tickets are off the table. So we cannot.
We can't match their dirtiness.
Because I'll be honest.
And try to buy followers that way.
The first thing we said yesterday is, can we match their level? If they're going to play dirty, can we play dirty as well too and get some tickets? We've been told it's a big emphatic no because Suncorp's completely sold out because Queensland fans are not flakes and they support their team, unlike what's happening in New South Wales for game three.
So true.
So, for a person who's born, it was born in New South Wales.
I know, you're really getting on board.
Well, I was upset. It's that whole thing like you said the other day.
Yeah.
You can pick on your own brother and sister, but if anyone else does it, you get your back up.
Fists are up, yep.
That's what's happening. Mm. Look, we've found out we cannot get tickets. It's 100% not going to happen. It's a no deal.
But we still want to buy followers.
But we've decided we're going to try with the limited resources we have to put together the ultimate Maroons prize pack. So to get that ball rolling, I was thinking maybe a jersey.
A jersey is a great starting point, but we thought on 13, 10, 60, maybe you could give us some suggestions of what we could put in the pack to get you to follow us. Like, what would get you across the line to get your follow on Instagram at Cliffo and Gabby? A merch pack, like a winning merch pack. Like, yeah, so
we
the jersey.
We have to make the pack as good as possible.
Maybe one of the players' mouth guards.
Well, I thought one.
No, sorry.
Don't make promises.
Hygiene says no.
I thought one is we could ask Kyle Felt if he, because he's in here all the time. In fact, he's in here this morning after 8:40.
Yeah.
We could ask him if he would do a cameo-style shout-out.
Perfect.
So whoever wins, he can do a personalised message for that winner's social media.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
He's a Queensland Maroon.
Yeah.
And you know why I like it too? It's free.
Well, that's what we're after, isn't it? We don't have millions
of
dollars behind us. But, you know, reach for the stars and we'll see what we can put in this value pack that we'll give away to a follower.
Don't call it a value pack.
And Gabby.
It makes it sound like a McDonald's meal.
You're right.
We'll
put it in the happy meal.
It's the ultimate Maroons prize pack.
All right, you're right.
We're putting together. What can we put in the prize pack? What does a Maroons fan want to win?
What do you want?
13, 10, 60. This is a brainstorm, so there's no bad ideas. Throw anything out there. We're starting with a jersey, but
we can only go up from there.
We can only go up from there. 13, 10, 60. What can we put in our ultimate Maroons prize pack? 13 10 60, Vern's here. Morning, Vern.
Hey, Cliffy, good, mate. Yourself?
Good. What should we be chucking in the ultimate maroon prize pack?
The maroon prize pack should be full of 4X, 4X gold, probably 14 cartons.
Whoa.
One for each player, one for the coach. And we just have a great time, big party, go the Maroons.
This show is all about responsible drinking, so I feel like we're not going to be allowed to give away 14 cartons.
Maybe a carton to, you know.
He is. People simply take this seriously, rapidly. Get on the beers. That's your civic duty. That's what's most important, and that's what must be done.
Daniel Andrews is behind the idea.
Yeah, get on the beers. I like the idea. 14 might be a stretch, Vern, but would you be happy with a carton?
Yeah.
He's like, aim high and I might get something.
Leonie's here now. Leonie, what should go in our ultimate Maroons prize pack?
A signed wooden spoon from all the team players.
Ooh.
Oh, God. Are you implying that Queensland's going to get the spoon?
No, I don't know.
I feel like that's a bit preemptive before game two. Maybe after game two, that it's more.
I think
more
you'd have more of a win in this state if you got the New South Wales Blues to sign the wooden spoon. I think that'd be more popular. Rory's here. Rory, how old are you?
I'm 11 years old.
Hey, Rory.
What would you want in a Maroons prize pack?
Some custom shoes.
Custom shoes? Like the players wear?
Yeah.
Rory, do you have Instagram?
No, I don't.
You're not worth much for us.
what a mole.
That was so mean.
Stay off it,
Rory.
I
like the shoes. That's good.
Instagram's full of awful people like Gabby.
Me?
You want to be off it for as long as possible, young man.
But I was alike, though.
Candace is here. Candace, what should be in the ultimate maroon prize pack?
A decent Esky.
Good esky.
Love an esky. Yep.
God, could we get one of those ones that
the
has
esky?
I was going to say the ones that has the cricket, the wicket on the side of it that folds out. It's your purpose.
It's not very on theme, though, is it? We're talking football.
Nah, but we're still Australian, mate.
You're right. You're right.
As long as it's got cup holders,
as long as it's got cup holders
and it can hold ice, we're good.
Throw a couple of stubby coolers in as well, too. Love it. Thanks, Candace.
You're welcome.
We're never going to get
We threw this out there earlier this morning. It was going to be a bit of a darker never going to get one today because we were searching for someone who has been kidnapped. Producer Brooke has actually tracked someone down in the States. Her name is Cara Chamberlain. Now, we do need to give a content warning before diving into this one that there are, of course, discussions of kidnapping but also murder. So this is definitely not okay for little ears. And please keep that in mind as we head into talking to Cara Chamberlain. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here with you guys.
Cara, back in 2002, you were 15 years old when you were kidnapped from your front lawn by a man who turned out to be a serial killer.
Mm.
This is absolutely incredible. Can you tell us a little bit about that day back in 2002?
Absolutely. So I was 15 years old and I had stayed the night at a friend's house. We were getting ready to go to the lake for the day, and she called her mom and asked if we needed to do anything, and her mom asked her to water the flowers, so I volunteered to do that while she took a shower. So I was outside by myself watering the flowers. I noticed a car pulled into the driveway, and a man got out. He was just an average-looking man, not very scary, nothing that set off any red flags for me. He came up to me and said he had some pamphlets that he was handing out today and asked if he could leave them with my parents. I let him know that it was not my house, it was my friend's house, and her mom was at home. Mm. And at that point, he said, well, I'll just leave them with you and you can give them to her when she gets here. And he reached in to give them to me, which was when he entered my personal space. And at the same time that he reached in with one hand to give me that, he put a gun to the right side of my neck and told me to go with him or he would shoot me.
Wow, that is just the scariest thing I could think would happen to a 15-year-old ever. What happened after that?
So he took me to the driver's side of the car, and this was a very suburban area, so lots of houses close together, and he had his arm around my neck, as the way it looked to any bystanders. He opened the driver's side door and put the seat forward. It was a two-door car. And in the back seat, there was a large plastic container. And he told me to get in the car and get in the container. And so I did. And he shut the container and he started to drive. Oh. And I realized that I was going to have to take matters into my own hands at some point. So I wanted to begin gathering information and try to remain as calm as possible so that I could recognize if there was an opportunity for me to escape and so that I could identify him. So I started paying attention to the turns we were taking, memorizing the number that was on the inside of the container. Wow. And just really trying to gather any information that I could to identify this person when I escaped.
That's pretty cool, calm and collected for a 15-year-old.
Very switched on for a 15-year-old. I was just thinking the same thing. So when did you escape? Was it from the vehicle or did he manage to get you to his destination?
He did manage to get me to his destination, which was his apartment. And I was there for 18 hours with him before I was able to escape the next morning. So the next morning, he was actually asleep in the bed next to me and I was restrained. I had handcuffs that were attached to the bed, and I had a leg restraint on one of my legs that was also attached to the bed. And I was able to detach the rope and the clamp that were holding the handcuffs to the bed and slide one of my hands out of the handcuffs, detach my leg restraint, and kind of slide out of the bed. I went to the front door, and the front door was kind of blockaded by some things that was just kind of stuff in the way, including the plastic container that I was transported in. And so I had to move those things really quickly. He was basically on the other side of the wall asleep. So I had to move them very quickly and get out of the apartment all in one quick motion. And I moved everything, threw the door open, and just ran. And his window was facing out onto that door where he was asleep in the bedroom. And I just thought, he's going to wake up and he's going to shoot me. But at least I'm outside. At least someone sees me. And I just ran out in front of a car and asked them to take me to the police station. And they did.
Okay. Oh, my God.
We mentioned that your kidnapper was a serial killer. He was proved to be a serial killer. Throughout this ordeal, did you know that? And did you fear for your life?
You know, he told me while I was there that he was going to let me go. And for a very long time, I believed that. I believed that he was going to let me go after he was, quote, done with me, as he worded it. However, when I escaped and was able to help law enforcement locate the apartment and he was on the run, law enforcement searched his apartment and they actually found a locked footlocker with some newspaper clippings and different things in it that led them to believe that this might be something bigger. And as they continued to investigate, they were able to positively identify him as the person responsible for those three murders. So now that I am looking back on it, it took me a little while to get to the point where I accepted that that was his plan for me. But yes, now I definitely accept and realize that he would have killed me when he was, quote, done with me, as he worded it.
Having something happen to you like that at the age of 15 would be so traumatizing. How have you managed to live a normal life since?
Well, I think it's important to remember that this did happen to me when I was 15, so I don't really have a point of comparison. But for me, I think a big part of my recovery actually is that I did not connect an emotional state to what happened to me. So it's why I can speak so clearly. And so that actually was a long-term effect of my trauma that I had to overcome. But the typical, you know, if you're thinking PTSD or flashbacks, that kind of thing, I didn't experience a ton of that. I did have some anxiety attacks through my teenage years. But how do I keep myself safe? I just really try to be aware of my surroundings. I think that's the most important thing we can do to try to keep ourselves safe, is just not present ourselves as an easy target. So really just being confident and carrying yourself with confidence and being situationally aware. I think that's very, very crucial.
Do you consider yourself lucky?
Oh, definitely. I definitely know that I was lucky, but I know that I also am a very strong-willed person, and I prayed a lot about, specifically about finding a way to escape. So I know it was luck, and it was faith, and it was my strength and will to survive as well.
Amazing. And you actually are working on a documentary about your story at the moment. When can we expect to see that? I'm very interested to see it.
Yes, I am. I am so interested for everyone to see it. It should be out in the fall, and it's very much something that I have had a hand in producing from day one. It tells my story minute by minute from the perspectives of myself, my family members, my boyfriend at the time, law enforcement, and it really just tells this beautiful story of all the different perspectives and lets you see how the trauma not only affects the primary victim, but everyone around as well. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Wow.
Kara Chamberlain was kidnapped as a 15-year-old, held for a full day by a serial killer. It blows my mind how well you speak about this, Kara, and how you're sort of giving back to. I know you've actually helped other victims and stuff of similar crimes. So, Kara, you tell your story with so much bravery, and, yeah, we really do appreciate you doing that for us this morning. Thanks so much for your time. And, by the way, if anyone needs Lifeline, this is pretty intense stuff, 13 11 14 or lifeline.org.au. But, Kara, thank you so much.
Absolutely. I am so glad to be speaking to people all over the world and really just try to give back to anyone who may feel touched.
To studio, our favourite cowboy and Origin superstar, Kyle Felt. Welcome.
Hey, Felty.
G'day, g'day.
New intro now.
Yeah, apparently.
Origin superstar. That's the first time that one's creeped in. We spoke to you a couple of hours after Origin last week. It's now been a better part of a week. How did you pull up a week on from your very first State of Origin?
Yeah, a week on, I'm good. But a couple of days after, I was in a bit of pain with I copped a knee to the back. So that's why I didn't play last week. But yeah, this week I'm ready to go. Training this week, which is good. So Todd gave me a couple of days off over the weekend and gave me Monday off as well. So I was pretty happy about that.
Looking back at the game and kind of thinking about the performance of the team, have you got any insights into that on what might change for game number two?
No, I wouldn't have a clue. I think just from the get-go we got out-muscled. That's what Greeny said from the start, and I think the whole team felt that as well. So it's got to be up already. You can't go in there cold and not ready for a battle. So I think, and especially playing against New South Wales, as a Queenslander I am, I don't really like that colour blue and people that wear it on them Wednesday nights.
It's like a red flag to a bull.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they got the jump on us and they went through with their game plan a lot better than we did.
You'd be a very unwise person to write off the Queensland Maroons with the next home game at
Suncorp
Stadium. You'd just be a very unwise person to write off the Maroons ever, Paul Gallen. So just don't do it.
Unless
don't
the second game
the series is very, very young. So yeah. We have to mention this as well. We brought it up with you quickly the other day, but our petty origin, for those who aren't aware, we've got this battle going with the New South Wales Breakfast Show. The first show to 5,000 Instagram followers wins Petty Origin. You already follow us on Instagram, so you're fully behind this.
Yeah, fully support the Cliff and Gabby show. It's
easy. Good stuff. Aww. Well, so much so that we've actually put together a bit of a political style advert we were hoping you would read just to get more people to follow our Instagram so we can win Petty Origin. So are you happy to put your best voiceover on for this and voice this ad, hoping we can drum up more support?
Yeah, I'd give it a go. I don't know if I'm that political to do that sort of stuff, but I'll give it a whirl.
Hey, you're a Queenslander. That's all we
That's
need.
That's all you need,
That's
mate.
All
you
need
qualify
for
this. Right. All right, take it away. Kyle Felt, his advert for our Petty Origin campaign.
Hi, I'm Kyle Felt. You might remember me from such football games as last week's State of Origin or any Cowboys game ever. Well, I'm here today to back Cliffo and Gabby for Petty Origin. Give Cliffo and Gabby a follow on Instagram. First of 5,000 followers wins the series. Let's show those dirty cockroaches that Queensland really is the greatest state. Follow Cliffo and Gabby today. It would be un-Queensland not to. Spoken by Kyle Felt from Cliffo and Gabby, Petty Origin Party of Australia.
Yeah! Brilliant!
Great.
That was so good.
So, you'll just invoice us for that?
Yeah, I don't charge much, trust me.
It's cheap. It's going cheap. All right, we'll see the Cowboys. They take on the Sharkies Friday night. Kyle Phelps, good on you, mate.
Thank you very much.
Alpha Bucks is back in the morning. $1,000 cash on the line after 8 a.m.
Funny answer, actually, that's going to get you closer to the $1,000. It's a thing Cliffo said he was born holding.
The remote.
Remote?
The TV
is
remote.
The answer you want.
Seriously. Some people are born with a hammer in their hand. They go on to be tradies. Some people are born with a TV remote. In their hands, they're going to become radio announcers.
Remote so, is your answer.
Remote, your free Alpha Bucks answer for the morning. It hit. Some people are born with a hammer in their hands. Some are born with a television remote control. Unfortunately, I'm the latter of
you're
the
two. You're the latter, yeah.
I'm not a very handy guy, and I come from a long line of tradies. All my uncles and cousins are tradies. My brother and my dad are tradies.
Mm.
I do this. This is not a trade.
No, there's no calluses on those hands.
They're moisturised.
They're very baby
smooth. I saw Baleen cream every single morning. And that was proved not too long ago when I tried to do some at-home plumbing and it just ended with me calling the plumber going, how soon can you get here? Recently, though, and I have mentioned this on the show, a cubby house has gone up in our backyard. So today I thought for anyone who would be interested in building a cubby house for their kids or for anyone else or for whatever reason, I've put together Cliffo's 10 simple steps to building a cubby house. You ready?
I'm ready.
Take note.
Are we talking building from scratch or flat pack?
Just go with me.
Okay, all right, go.
It's all answered.
Let's go.
How to build a cubby house in 10 simple steps. Step one. Get the kids excited about the idea of a cubby house.
Ooh.
Then immediately FaceTime their cashed up grandparents.
Nice.
Step two. Once the idea is firmly implanted in Granny and Poppy's mind, start spamming them with cubby house kid ideas and remind them the kids' birthdays are coming up. Step three. Within a few weeks, the cubby house kit should arrive. Under no circumstance, put it together.
Oh, okay.
Step four. Once Granny and Poppy arrive for their interstate holiday, immediately paint the picture that you're snowed under at work and don't have any free time right now.
Uh-huh.
Step five. If the step four sees this planned correctly, you should arrive home from work the next day to a nearly completed cubby house. Make a sandwich. Step six. Eat sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Step seven. Once sandwich is complete, walk to the backyard and feign interest in cubby house construction. Offer to help finish building almost fully assembled cubby house.
Yes.
Step eight.
That's the best step. The longer you're in a relationship, Cliffo, the further back the line moves. And by that, I mean, you know, when you first start dating someone, it's probably crossing the line to fart in front of them. The longer you're together, the more acceptable those things become, and that line moves backward. More things are acceptable.
I've got bad news for you, too. Yeah. The line never stops moving.
It just keeps
like
going.
Childbirth.
Oh,
The line's just blown up.
Yeah,
the line doesn't exist anymore.
It's like Lindsay Lohan. The limit does not exist. However, I think the line was crossed in my house this week. Because normally I'm the one that pushes the line back. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty liberated where I'm the one who's a bit of a nudist in the house. So I'll walk around nud. I don't care about going to the bathroom with the door open if it's number one. Nev gets very mad at me because he'll be in there cleaning his teeth and I'll just sit down on the loo and he's like, what are you doing? Because he's not like that. So I'm the one that pushes that line further and further back and
Similar because that's me in our house too. I'm constantly living with Michelle going.
Don't do that.
Seriously, we're inside the house for 10 seconds and your pants are already off?
Yes, that's me too. The window's open. The neighbours can see you.
I've been in trouble before for starting to unbuckle in the driveway.
Well, it was actually Nev who I think crossed the line this time around, which is unusual because normally it's me. But he was about to head out of the house. I think he was going to the shop. He was going to the Bottle-O to get himself some beer. And he was going to be a minute. And I was sitting on the loo at the time of him wanting to leave the house. And I'm just yelling at him from out the door. And he's like, oh, no worries. Do you want anything at the shop? I'm like, no, I think I'm all right. And as he normally would in a normal situation when I wasn't on the toilet, he came in to give me a quick peck on the lips, kiss goodbye as he left the house, which is what he does all the time. But he just didn't stop to think, hold on, she's on the toilet. Maybe this is not appropriate.
It
was only once. And he comes in, he gives me a kiss on the lips. It's like, love you, bye. And then he kind of just stops. And we both just stare at each other in silence for about 5 seconds and go, That
what
didn't feel right.
Just happened.
So once that line moves to that point, can you bring it back? Or is that us now? Is that our
that's,
life now?
You know what? I think that's life.
That's life now.
Next, it's going to be number twos.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
It never ends.
It doesn't end. It's a sad, sad spiral you're going down, my friend.
Last week, we chatted to a guy who is just the most entrepreneurial young kid we've ever spoken to.
Yeah, move over, Lord Alan Sugar.
Yeah, this guy's taking over the world. Because he kept a single-use plastic bag when all bags were banned. He framed it and he was trying to sell it on Facebook Marketplace to fund his formal suit. Now, Casey Appiata is his name. He's a Queensland kid and he joins us right now for an update. How are you, Casey?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Casey, we wanted to get you back because we believe the sale of the plastic bag is nearly complete. Can you give us an update?
That is true. So, right now, I got two big offers. I've received a donation.
So, makes sense. So the idea is now you'll still sell the bag, and any money you get will go back to the formal committee to make, you know, the formal
student
cheaper
tickets
for everyone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
that is such a good update.
So, how much? Because you were selling the bag for $100. How much are you actually thinking you're going to get for it?
So, right now, the art gallery Thrill House is offering me $300.
Wow.
Great.
And then Will and Woody is offering me $500 and DJ my formal.
Oh
my God.
They've even upped the ante. Wow. They'll pay for the bag and DJ.
I mean, you've mentioned another radio network there. But
that's all right.
For such a solid donation, good on you, Will and Woody.
Well, I was going to offer $100.
smash, mate. And they're going to bloody DJ the formal too.
Wow.
That is just legendary. All right. Well, you know, I can understand it either, you know, going to those guys or particularly going to the gallery as well, because there is something artistic about the way you've chucked it in a frame and just kind of left it there.
Yeah, I would never realize, like, how much this had blown up now just for a plastic bag.
Right, it's,
I love it.
Man, there's not that many of them around. They're kind of special, I guess. Well, that is such a good ending. I mean, someone giving you a donation to buy your suit and then you now still selling the bag and then, you know, putting the money towards the formal committee and making it cheaper
Beautiful.
For the rest of your peers. That's so good. Casey, you're a lovely dude. It's been great to get to know you, mate.
Thank you.
And move over, Lord Alan Sugar. Casey's coming for you.
He's going to be the next millionaire.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast. Australia, meet your new McCafe blend. Smooth, rich with a hint of sweet berry. It's coffee fit for an Aussie.